I don't know if you do New Year's resolutions or if you don't do New Year's resolutions or what, but whether you do or you don't, the new year is a good time to kind of reflect and maybe get back on what you had been attempting in the last year, or maybe there's some things that you could be doing that you're like, nah, now is the time. Now is the time. I'm ready now with the new year. And prayer might be among those. Maybe there's something that you have wanted to do more of, whether it's from praying the rosary or getting to Mass or just sitting and chatting with Jesus more. And you need a little help reigniting that prayer life. That's what this hour is about. The number is 888-318-7884 if you would like some help, some suggestions, some thoughts, or have some questions about how to go about reigniting your prayer life. 888-318-7884. Our guest is John Leonetti. He is the author of Mission of the Family and Your God is Too Boring, both featured in Matthew Kelly's Dynamic Catholic Book Program. He's also a highly regarded Catholic speaker and parish mission leader. John Leonetti, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Si.
Did I miss any books?
I have my third one out, The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do.
Oh, how did I miss that one?
It's been out maybe 6 months, so not too long.
Oh, 6 months is my limit. That's exactly how far back my memory goes. Before that, I have to ask my wife. So
that's the way to do it.
She does. She has all the long-term memory. I try to take care of the short-term memory.
It's kind of the opposite in my family. So
really?
We're looking out for each other.
Good. Yeah, that's right. That's how God makes us, complementary to one another, even in memory. So, what do you make of, first of all, I'll just ask you this. What do you make of a resolution to get going again with prayer? Is it a good idea, or are there other ways that the saints might recommend to us, or that, you know, just the traditions of the church might recommend about approaching prayer?
Well, my wife and I are very opposite. So it's a house divided when it comes to making resolutions, because I'm a big fan. Now, she's not. You know, she just kind of, it's kind of the whole diet lifestyle change, you know, for her. She doesn't want to call it a diet. It's just like a lifestyle change. This is what we're going to do. For me, I want to get resolute. I want tangible things. I want specific. And that's what I'm trying to do again this year. And for the most part, I honestly do an okay job of hitting them when I really put my mind to it, albeit by the grace of God. But I think one of the most important things we can do, especially for 2019, is to spiritually renew ourselves and to create some spiritual resolutions, first and foremost taking those to prayer, of how we can enter into better and closer friendship with God. And, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the most important things you and I are ever going to do, is to really think about that. The most important thing you and I are ever going to do is to actually do it and to enter into that friendship with them. So I think those two things are very important. So when we think about it, we're getting, you know, thinking about the resolutions, and then we put it into action. There's nothing better, you know, and this is the only sole reason why we exist, is to be in heaven with God for all eternity. That relationship, that beatific vision with God for all eternity, to be saints in heaven. And the beautiful part about that is, and St. John Paul II spoke on this a little bit during his pontificate, is we can experience, you know, some of that even here on earth. You know, that kind of age-old phrase, heaven on earth, is being in right relationship with God, that state of being. Of course, we don't have the entire and feel the effects of all of it, of what heaven is, but God does give us the opportunity right here on this very planet in your life to be able to enter into friendship with Him. And that is something I don't know if we'll ever be able to understand fully, certainly not on this side of the veil.
Well, I can tell you, though, as a sales point for praying, that there's something there that's more resonant than maybe, you know, the far off, you know, someday you will die and this will all pay off. I mean, there's do you see what I'm saying? That the idea that, no, this makes a difference in your being now.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make clear, this is never done perfectly here. The great saints struggled to pray. There are days where in 2018 that I didn't pray, you know, where I just kind of went through it. I thought a lot about God. I read a lot about God. But the difference between, you know, knowing about and knowing sometimes can be the difference between heaven and hell. You know, I'm sure there's people in hell that knew a lot about God. And that can be a temptation. Thomas Aquinas warns us against that. If we've kind of made our faith into as I say, a hobby, you know, because without prayer, our faith is a hobby. And that's just kind of something that we do, something that interests us. So knowing about God's good, don't get me wrong, that's very good. Shows exist like this to help us know about God. But that ultimately has to funnel us into knowing God. But as I said before, that isn't done perfectly. It's never going to be done perfectly for any of us. The greatest of saints struggled in this. You and I struggle in this. I'm a mess when it comes to prayer. There's days that it seems like, my goodness, Lord, I could be here for 3 hours in your glory. And there's other days where I can't find a word. I can't think. I don't want to go pray. So this is something that we need help with, kind of a buzzword, coaching with on a regular basis, which is why I really recommend spiritual direction to a lot of people as well. But yeah, so just to kind of take the pressure off of everyone thinking, okay, there's a right way and a wrong way. No, relax. We're just going to try to, you know, take ourselves, as Matthew Kelly says, from a 6 to a 7. Oftentimes we want to take ourselves from a 2 to a 10, but incremental changes, and that can happen.
What about those of us who need to go from a 2 to a 3? Are you okay with that?
Yes, I'm there.
All right, because I do think there's something about modern life that it's not so much a secret anymore. It just wears people out. I almost feel like people make fun of those peasants in the Middle Ages, and there's a lot to about the middle people. But in some ways, they were probably not as worn out as you are mentally by the end of the day. They, right. You know, they had time for visiting and sharing meals and all that kind of stuff. So what about the person who says, John, I cannot, not one more thing. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. There's no faith if we're not praying. So I know that there's a lot of things that are very important that we have. And we're not, many people that are listening to the show aren't monks or religious cloistered sisters that, you know, are obligated to pray for hours a day. I understand that. But if we think we are going to be in heaven with God for all eternity and not have that relationship and start that now, it's just not going to happen. We have to begin that prayer. It is the most important thing that you and I will ever do in 2019 and 2020 and 2021, is to enter into that friendship with Almighty God. But I think one of the ways we can do that is, as I said before, take the pressure off of thinking this is going to be done perfectly, but also really try to simplify that. Because I think in a lot of ways, we've really overcomplicated this relationship with the Lord. You know, tonight I'm going to go home. And I'm just about 8 minutes from my house, so I'm going to drive at the Iowa Catholic Radio studio. So I'm going to drive from my house, or from here, the studio to my house. And I'm going to walk in the door, and my daughter, she's 3, and my son, he's 6. And I told my wife when we got married, I wanted all girls. But now that I've had my daughter, I want all boys from here on out, because she is feisty. I will tell you that. And but she's so cute. And what she's going to do is one of two things. When I walk in the door, she's going to run up to me and she's going to open her arms to me and say, Daddy, Daddy. Right. So I can pick her up, or she's going to go in the other room and just kind of sit down and not want me to go near her. Right. It's just kind of the way it goes sometimes. True prayer is like that. That's what God wants of us, is to reach to God. It's really meditation. Right. Reach to God. Contemplation then is where I then reach back down to her, where God reaches back down to us, infusing us with those graces. And this is what Mother Teresa says. She said, simple prayer really is just giving God permission to work in our life.
Uh-huh.
And that's petitionary prayer as well. You know, sometimes we think that I have to pray to change God's mind. You know, we become consultants with God. You know, we'll sit in the driver's seat. We'll give him the front seat, but we're not going to give him the driver's seat, right? But prayer is really the opposite. Prayer is where we close the gap between what I want and what God wills for my life. Prayer is where I let God really kind of take over. It's why one of the most ancient and beautiful prayers we see in the life of the saints and the church is, thy will be done. It's the very way in which Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. And that's a little line sometimes that we can scoot over oftentimes in the Our Father. But really, when we say it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done right here now on earth. Your will be done, Lord, as it is in heaven. So really kind of simplifying our approach to prayer, not thinking we have to say all these thous and these and just kind of go on and on, but to really just give God permission to enter into those areas of our life where we know we need him, where we know we can't do it ourselves.
Wait, you're saying we can just talk to him, we don't need all the thous and these?
It can be that simple.
That is such a...
And not to say that, you know, those are certainly bad. I love to pray with traditional prayers. But at the end of the day, you know, friends, we can really just make this simple. That's how God wants... That's how God is. God is simple, right? And this is how God wants us to approach him, in a simple, childlike manner. You know, he tells us, instructs us to be like children in the scriptures. My daughter, she's not going to do all these amazing things. You know, she's going to cook me a plastic apple, and she's going to give me a small little cup of tea from her kitchenette, you know, and I'm going to be the happiest father in the world, biting on plastic and sipping on air, because I'm just with my daughter. I'm in her presence. She sees me. She recognizes me. She looks at me. She loves me. And my son as well, too. But you see that. That's what God wants for our life, just to look at him in his direction throughout our day.
Reignite your prayer life. As we start the new year, we're speaking about just that topic with one of the most humane speakers and writers in the Catholic sphere today, John Leonetti. If you'd like to talk with John about your prayer life, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And before we go to the break, if you've made a resolution to become a better apologist this year, Carrie Beck has invited me to invite you to take the Daily Defense Challenge. Carrie says all you need is 5 minutes a day. You grow inside, grow your faith inside, grow your knowledge of the faith. This year, make a difference. Take the Daily Defense Challenge. Challenge yourself to expand your apologetic knowledge using Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense. It's just 5 minutes every day. You can learn a new answer to an apologetics challenge. To make it easier, we've lowered the price by 50% for the month of January. By we, I mean Carrie. And don't worry, if you can't start right on the 1st of January, you can catch up with just a few five-minute sessions. Or the truth is, the days aren't numbered in the book. Just start at the beginning and 365 days plus one later, you'll have 365 days plus one more apologetics answers in your toolbook. Right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about reigniting your prayer life in the year 2019 with John Leonetti, our guest. And our first caller is Lois in Marble Falls, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Lois, thanks for your call. Your question for John.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, John. And
Merry Christmas to
you. Oh, thank you, Lois. You too. Thank you.
Hey, so I heard you mention about a spiritual director, and I think part of the problem may be me, but that's part of my problem. It feels like it's all about me, and I struggle with that.
I got a good book for you.
I know that's their purpose. It's, okay.
That's my book. I was joking. The Art of Getting Over Yourself, and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do. But are you in spiritual direction right now?
I am not, and I've tried two different ones. It was a lay woman, and then the other one was a retired priest. But I just, like I said, I just couldn't get over talking about me.
What do you mean when you say talking about you?
Oh, that's what I felt. It was like all about me. It was like, well, what are you doing, and how are you doing it, and I don't know. Sure. Maybe I didn't stick with it long enough, or
I don't know how long you stuck with it, but I can say a couple things to it. Spiritual direction is about God working in you. So that's what the goal of a spiritual director is, to help you recognize how the Holy Spirit is actually working in your life. and to really kind of draw that out, bring that out, and really massage it in a lot of ways to be able to help see where God's working and where also I'm unwilling to allow God to enter into my life. One thing that sounds maybe a little bit like it could have been this way, but again, I don't know. Spiritual direction is sometimes confused with counseling, but it's not. It's really just kind of the opposite. You know, a counselor takes a little more active role in kind of guidance and advice. Again, the goal of a good spiritual director, and they're trained in this, the spiritual directors that are, is to really kind of, in fact, my spiritual director once said that, you know, the idea is for him to kind of sit above the conversation. You know, to really kind of sit above that and, again, kind of draw out those nuggets of where he sees the Holy Spirit really working in my life and then some ways that we can get help with it. But and not to say that it's not going to be accompanied by advice. There's going to be, you know, there's plenty of times that I've gotten that advice in spiritual direction. But, yeah, so I would say give it a go. Listen, there's no harm in trying two times with two different people and saying this just wasn't the one. You know, when I was in the seminary, I was in for 3.5 years, they encouraged me very seriously to, you know, when you pick a spiritual director, if this isn't someone that you feel like you mesh well with, if you feel like it's just not working, that's fine. Come to us and we'll find you a new one. So that can happen plenty of times. So don't just think, well, you know, it's all you. Maybe you and the priest or you and the laywoman just kind of didn't hit it off in that same capacity and try again.
And your book, right?
Yeah, and my book. There you have it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Lois, and thank you for the seasonal wishes. For those of you who may be wondering about that, we Catholics are not cheap with Christmas. Christmas mm-hmm. continues. This is still Christmas. At the very earliest, it ends on January 6th, but there are lots of good Catholics who'll tell you it keeps going even past that. We're talking about your prayer life for the new year with John Leonetti. Teresa in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio is next. Teresa, your question for John.
Yes, my question is, how do you get through all the stuff that goes through your minds while you're trying to pray in adoration?
Mm-hmm. Distraction?
Yeah. You know, where all kinds of thoughts and ideas and you're trying to be, to sit there and be with God, but your mind just keeps going.
Yep. So if you find yourself distracted in prayer, Teresa, first and foremost, you are human. I want you to be, just make sure you know that, because there are times, certainly when I go to pray, and many saints that battle distractions in prayer. Therese of Lisieux talked a lot about her distractions. But the one thing that's really worked for me the most, I would say, is to really turn those distractions into prayers. I heard a priest once say that when he's distracted in prayer, he puts it in a balloon, ties a knot, and just kind of lets it go as a prayer, as an offering to God. And that's one thing that's really worked for me. I don't imagine the balloon thing, but for me, really, when I pray and there's a distraction that comes into it, I just really kind of calm myself. You know, I don't beat myself up for it. I really try to come to as quick as possible because, you know, you come to as quick as possible and then offer it to God. Lord, I need you in this relationship. Or Lord, guide me when I'm at the grocery store today. I mean, I don't know, whatever. All of it should be a prayer. And if St. Paul says to pray unceasingly, you know, then we need to offer even our distractions to God in it. But be patient with yourself when it comes to that. Again, don't beat yourself up. Calmly ask the Holy Spirit to call yourself back. You might find yourself 90 seconds later distracted with the same thing again. That's fine. Call yourself back. And if there's days where you are distracted by 99 things, you offer those to God. You've given him 99 different ways to be able to enter anew into your life.
Okay.
And I have a comment for Cy.
Oh, all right.
He said it was cold in California, so like everybody's got colds out there.
Yes, it's hard here, Teresa. It's very difficult.
Well, here it can get down to 30 below wind chill. Now, that's cold.
30 below wind chill. We were in the 40s last night. Now, that's real cold, Teresa. I do... I do not want to hear any more of your complaining from Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, I'm not complaining.
Oh, you like that. I mean, the deep freeze, huh?
You have nothing to complain about with 40-degree weather. I mean...
All right. I just love complaining, though, Therese. I feel like you're depriving me of that, but all right. I will accept that. But 30 below, huh?
It can get down there, yes. It can, and it can be real bad. Yep.
Well, I bet the summers are nice, though.
They're hot.
I'm going to give you some suggestions on other places you could move to then. We'll have to do that later. But, Therese, for right now, thanks for that call. San Diego, Teresa. Maybe think about San Diego. Ralph in Muscatine, Iowa. You are up next with John Leonetti. Your question, please, Ralph.
Oh, for John, I had the question of he did a great analogy about coming home to his daughter.
Yeah.
And being in her presence, and that whole scenario he gave, and that whole concept of being present to God in your prayer. Okay? And my question to the interviewer was, I asked about a little bit about methodologies, you know, because you're not going to be saying the rosary or anything like that. So he's talking about totally different prayer form awareness, okay? And so I didn't know if he had a concept of methodology, because it isn't meditation or anything like that. And go ahead.
Oh, no, you can finish your question.
Okay. And then there's also a comment, because so much of what he said, I could almost quote out of one of the books I read. And I know this is going to be an interesting comment, maybe, but everything he said about that, about presence to God and desiring to be in that presence, is pinpointing my understanding of the beginning of contemplative prayer. And one of the methodologies to that is called centering prayer. Okay?
All
right. And that's where I'm going with, okay, a little bit. The concept of methodology, how do you enter into that deep kind of prayer?
All right, John.
Well, you don't on your own. First and foremost, remember that prayer is really the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So God's going to take you where He wants to take you. Of course, there's many different books. St. Teresa of Avila is one that certainly comes to mind. Much of her writings, when you talk about these places that God can take us into deep contemplation. I'm not there. I'm really not. In fact, I am just a really kind of practical guy. I really try to keep things a lot more simple for when it comes to me just even talking about prayer, but also in my prayer itself. I have here, you know, I know you mentioned at the beginning of this, you know, how can we be a little bit even more present to God in our prayer? I think two ways. One is our time. So to really get specific and intentional about having a time every day to pray. And that's, I've said it a million times, that's how prayer is spelled, T-I-M-E, right? I mean, without our time and getting really intentional about that, we're not going to have a prayer life. Now, sometimes people say to me, well, my prayer is the things that I do. And I say that can be also a prayer as well, but we can't kid ourselves. Over and over, you want to be a saint, you want to be in heaven with God, look to the saints and what they do. Every one of them had a time of prayer. And especially those that had times of prayer in their families as well. And then number two is to create kind of a space. And one of the ways that I think is important, and I grew up with this, is my mom had just a beautiful little two-tiered table, and it's still there in the corner of her dining room. And my family didn't pray, you know, every night together. My mother would pray with me growing up. But, you know, when we gathered around the rosary, we gathered around that table, and there was, you know, beautiful images there, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, prayer cards, a rosary, you know, a crucifix there to really kind of keep my mind and my heart centered on that. It's really in a lot of ways what beauty does. You know, when you enter into a beautiful church, I found at times I'm distracted during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the most important prayer God gives us, by beauty. And I think in some ways that's just another raising of one's mind and heart to God. That's really what St. Therese of Lisieux says. Prayer is a surge of the heart. So, you know, I practically speaking, it's really kind of the only thing I can speak to where God's going to take you, and that is where He's going to take you. But to give Him the opportunity, to give Him permission, time, and creating some kind of sacred space, and trying to be as what's the word, trying to be as to do it as often as possible and keep it that same place, can I think do wonders, especially for beginners.
Just real quick, John, with the mention of centering prayer, it's very controversial, and I think many Catholics have rejected it just on the basis of the idea of emptying the mind. But maybe you could just say something. In the Catholic tradition, the words meditation and contemplation don't necessarily mean what they might mean in other traditions. So what do we mean? I'm saying this, but I'm realizing this is going to have to wait till after the break. Ralph, I'm going to...
I got your answer.
Oh, you got an answer for me. Okay,
so
Ralph, hang on. If you like, we'll take that break and we'll come back and we'll talk about what do Catholics mean by meditation and what do we mean by contemplation and which one are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be doing both? Is there a way to be doing either better? All of that when we reignite our prayer life with John Leonetti on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine. Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Happy New Year.
Tomorrow, Jeannie Mancini joins us talking about the March for Life. Join us for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. John Leonetti is our guest. John is author and speaker of some renown, and among his books, now you're going to have to help me with the latest one, but The Mission of the Family is one. Mm-hmm. Your God is Too Boring, my personal favorite book title, is one. And then Get Over Yourself.
Right. The Art of Getting Over Yourself, and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do.
The Art of Getting Over
Which
Yourself.
Which actually, in some ways, is a great segue to what we were just talking about.
Okay. All right. So we're talking with Ralph in Muscatine, Iowa, about methods of prayer. And I just wanted you to make a distinction between what Catholics believe about these words and maybe what other people believe about it. But primarily, what do Catholics believe the word meditation means, the word contemplation means, and what are we supposed to do regarding each of them?
It's my thought, my personal opinion, that we are seeing one of the devil's great tricks in our society again. And it's important for us to be able to understand a couple things. First and foremost, the devil, he can't create evil, so he doesn't have that power. The only thing the devil can do, in a lot of ways, it's the same thing we can do, but the thing that the devil can do, he's just much smarter at it and better at it, is to take something which is good, created by God, and just confuse it, or twist it, or contort it. This over and over again is what we see, right? The devil taking what is good and just turning it opposite. And I think this is really what we're starting to see now when we talk about prayer in our world today. If you notice, I'd say in the last 10, 15 years, meditation, maybe going back a little bit longer, 20, meditation is kind of a new hot thing. And it has been for a long time. We see it on a lot of the daytime shows. You see it different transcendental meditation practices, even people putting them out there all over social media. Meditation isn't a bad word in secularism today. There's classes that are all over the country helping people to meditate better, and teachers and coaches up and down the line. But I'll give you kind of an example, because the devil can't create evil, just like he's not going to be able to get rid of prayer. But what he can do is he can take something as prayer, Christian prayer, Christocentric prayer, and he can confuse it or he can invert it. And I think this is in a lot of ways what we're seeing when it comes to meditation today, is not where he's trying to wipe it off the map, but where he's really confused it or inverted it in a lot of ways. I had a friend of mine a while back that said that he took a class on meditation, and I said, well, that's great. I said, what'd you do? And he said, well, I got to know me better. And I remember I looked at him and I said, gross. And I could kind of joke with him a little bit. And I said, you know, that's not true meditation. Right? What is true meditation? True meditation isn't where I turn inward on myself. True meditation is where I turn outward to God, where I reorder my life, my senses, everything of who I am, my soul, to God. It's kind of what I was talking about before with the analogy we were using when it comes to my daughter or my son when I go home. They reach up to me, right? And then mm-hmm. contemplation, as I was saying before, is when we give God that permission, when we reach to Him, when we turn our mind and heart to Him. St. Therese of Lisieux says prayer is a surge of the heart, a surging of the heart to God. Then God can give us, fill us with those graces. It's why I think one of the most powerful meditative and contemplative prayers in the church has today is the rosary. I mean, that's really, in a lot of ways, par excellence. That's about as close as we can get when it comes to private devotions to what true meditation and contemplation is. That raising of our minds in sacred scripture to the life of our Lord and His Mother, while we raise our words right to God through the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Glory Be's, but then also asking for the fruits of those mysteries. Asking for the fruits of those mysteries for God to be able to then give to us. So kind of a different understanding. Meditation secularly in a lot of ways is kind of a turning in on oneself. And let me be very clear. Be very, very careful when entering into that space. I'm not, you know, educated enough to be able to give you advice as an exorcist by any sense of the word or as a theologian. But I can just tell you, from one Catholic to another, be very careful when you enter into that realm. And again, read the saints. The lives of the saints will show you the best way that we can possibly do this. I hope that helps.
Ralph, does it?
Yeah. Yes.
It does. Okay.
Hello?
Well, good.
Oh, wait.
That's all I can.
Hey, can I have 30 seconds?
Well, real quick, Ralph, about 30 seconds is so
okay.
long.
Well, John said it's right.
And it's
time,
cold here.
Time, space, intention, time, space, intentionality, and desire in our relationship with God, not right. yourself.
Right.
Not, and there's nothing in centering prayer about emptying your mind and all that kind of stuff. There's statements in there that say it definitely is not that, because that's impossible almost. Just opening your heart and mind, he talks about that. It's totally what I always been taught with it. It is not meditation, and especially he agrees with you on meditation of the kind he was talking about nowadays. And it is not centering on yourself by any means.
You feel like you're drawing closer to Christ when you pray.
Oh, what you have said is so much, which is in Thomas Keating's book on centering prayer. It's unbelievable. And you do know a very entering doors contemplative prayer from everything I've read about John the Cross, Teresa of Avila, and other people, because you're not claiming it to be something that you want to claim it to be. And that is one of the most humbling parts about prayer and opening up to God.
I'll tell you what, if you're drawing closer to Christ and becoming more humble in your prayer life, I can't see how those things are bad.
That's it.
Not an expert on prayer, but I know those are the things that are supposed to happen. So
it's all about Jesus.
Indeed, it is all about Jesus. Let me ask you a little about formal prayer, though, because we talk about these kind of they're big and somewhat amorphous terms, contemplation and meditation and all that. But what about prayers like praying the Divine Office, prayers like praying the Rosary? What do you say to people who would maybe like to start on those paths?
I say Divine Office, Rosary, you can't go wrong. And I really had a kind of a conversion. Now, I'm not a daily, I don't pray the Divine Office every day. I really don't. But the times that I do are just so fruitful in my prayer. And I kind of had a conversion of it of sorts when I was in the seminary. That was the last prayer I liked to pray. I didn't really like praying it that much. It really was. I mean, I did it, of course, because we were obligated to, but I didn't really enjoy it that much. I didn't look deeper into it. There were some days I kind of drug myself there to pray it. But over time now, as a layman and husband and father, even just praying nighttime prayer has become, once in a while in my life, just a great fountain of grace for me. So the Divine Office is a nice place to start. Now you can have it on your phone with you wherever you go. Very easy to take with you now. And it marks the hours of your day with our Lord, with grace. Yeah, and again, what I like about this prayer, for me at least, is that overriding sense that when I'm praying this prayer, I'm truly praying with the entire church. You know, I'm praying the same words that the Holy Father's praying, the bishops, the priests, religious, laymen and women everywhere around the world, praying those very same words I'm praying. So you kind of see the universality of the church there. And again, if you can't pray the office of readings, morning, daytime, evening, nighttime prayer, maybe you pick one or two, maybe just morning and evening, or you do it for Lent or something like that, and maybe it comes into your life as well. But I really can't say enough of good things about it. And the rosary, it's a staple. That you look at, especially the modern saints, they were praying the rosary. For some people, the rosary is something just to get done. I went through a period of my life where, and you know, we're so American, we just want that sense of completion, you know, where I pray the rosary and I finish and I'm just proud of myself. Yeah. You know, I did it. I prayed that whole rosary. And really, I came to realize I wasn't praying it. I was just saying it. And I think that can happen a lot when it comes to the rosary. I've been to, you know, different rosary places where you walk in, it sounds like you're at an auction, you know, hey, Mary, Father, Christ, it's like, whoa, you know, we got to slow down a little bit here. So I think our Lord would rather us pray, you know, one slow Hail Mary than 15 fast rosaries, which is why I say if kind of you're a beginner's level in this, and most of us are, I know I am, maybe you pray a decade a week. Over the course of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's your rosary. Or when you do pray it, maybe once a week or a couple times a week, that you pray it reverently and slowly, that you give yourself a little bit more time to really meditate on those words and allow the Lord to really speak through them. And, of course, the mysteries that we're praying. So two very important prayers in the life of the church, formal prayers, but nonetheless, very important for us to be able to take on as Catholics.
Well, before I go to a break, I want you to help me out or clear something up for me then. My mental image from a younger time of the Liturgy of the Hours is that book with the ribbons and the flipping the back and the forth. And if somebody doesn't help me with it, I can't do it.
Right.
So you're saying I can just get it on my phone, I don't mean that it's going to be on my phone and I can flip back and forth, but like it'll just be on my phone. I just follow along.
Yeah, with Divine Office is what I have here. In fact, I just opened it up as I'm looking at it.
And okay,
right there, you got the Invitatory, the Office of Readings, morning prayer, mid morning, midday, mid afternoon, evening prayer, night prayer. I mean, it's really beautiful that you can have on that. But there's a bunch of apps. Divine Office Simple is the one that I use when I do pray this prayer. But yeah, isn't it kind of crazy how everything is literally just a finger away here?
I'm glad it is, though, because I know a lot of people are going to think, just roll their eyes at me. But it didn't matter how many times you explained it to me, I could not do the Liturgy of the Hours without help, without somebody doing it for me.
You should have seen me in seminary, man.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Were you the guy in the corner with the pointy hat on?
I was the guy that, you know, the ribbon was a week before and, you know, trying to discreetly find the right ribbon. You know?
Yeah.
It happens.
And as you said, most of us are not monks. You know, the monks, they it's a rhythm. They know where they are. They know what. But That's really cool that you can get it on your phone, and you can, even if you do morning and evening prayer, you're praying with the church in such an intense way when you pray that Liturgy of the Hours.
Yeah. And again, you don't have to, I'm not saying you're going to, you know, go now pray every hour of the day that of the Divine Office and pray three rosaries and stuff. Start small. Take a little step today.
I'm so glad that we're smaller than three rosaries, because I didn't even know that was an expectation.
That's a long drive.
And now you've made me feel anxious.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884 if you're, you'd like to ignite your prayer life for the coming year. Maybe there's an area we haven't talked about that you would like to direct our attention to, and we can fill in that space for you. Something you'd like to know about prayer, something you'd like to know about the how-tos of prayer. John Leonetti is our guest. 888-318-7884 is the number. January, pro-life month. We're pretty pro-life around here. Right, Nick? Is that right or not?
Oh, right.
It is right. Oh, man, I got two giant thumbs up from Brandon, too, and he never pays attention to me. Pro-Life Month, we'd love to equip you with all kinds of stuff to make you a very well-equipped pro-life warrior. All of our pro-life books, DVDs, MP3s, booklets, ebooks, everything, it's all on sale this month to just get it out of here, to get it out the door. Visit the pro-life category at shop.catholic.com. $5 for each of those pro-life items. Just $5. You can have pro-life DVDs, books, everything for your parish, for your home, for your family. Get them at shop.catholic.com.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
That retreat absolutely lit me on fire. Your talks and the spiritual counseling, I just want to learn so much about it. And as a parent of three boys, what can I research to continue that fire to impart that on my boys?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking prayer with John Leonetti. If you'd like to get your prayer life ignited for the new year, we'd like to help with that. 888-318-7884, the number. 888-318-7884. Gia in St. Louis, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. You are up next. Your question for John Leonetti. Gia, do I have
you?
Hi. Oh, hi.
Yes. So I was telling him I'm a new Catholic.
Oh, congratulations. We're happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll tell you what, it's been a wonderful journey.
Praise God.
Yes, definitely. I still struggle with praying the rosary as well. And it's when it comes to the mysteries, I'm just not making that connection. And I think it's because I don't really know, am I supposed to focus on an image? Am I supposed to focus on the actions that took place during each of the mysteries? I kind of get lost. So what I end up doing is just, I uploaded some pictures on my phone, and I just focus on those images, and I feel like I'm not connecting. And I don't feel like I'm giving the rosary all the love that it needs, that I need to give when I pray it, if that makes sense.
It does.
It does. I think in some ways, Gia, you're probably being a little too hard on yourself. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not doing this perfectly. We were talking about this before. It's never going to be done perfectly. And honestly, I didn't hear anything you just say that I would say, nope, stop doing that. You know, if the Holy Spirit's, you know, praying through you in a way of which you're focusing on an image of the Lord, say the crucifixion, and you have a picture of a crucifix that you want to focus on while you're praying that mystery, I don't think that's bad. Even just looking, keeping our eyes focused on that image is some ways a prayer, right? We were talking about Christocentric prayer, so always keeping Christ Jesus there, our focus on Him. I mean, traditionally, you know, the way we pray the rosary is, of course, the first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. So the angel Gabriel announced to Our Lady, meaning the great announcer Gabriel to Our Lady, that she was to bear a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. And of course, she said yes. So what's my meditation for that prayer? Most of the time, my meditation is, Mother, pray for me that I can have the same will that God wills, right? That my will is His will, that my will joins with His. Pray for me that I can trust God as much as you trusted God in that moment. There's times where I will look at an image just like you, GM, and then there's other times where I kind of put myself there, kind of a little Lectio Divina, right? Sacred reading, where I just kind of imagine myself using my imagination there present as I pray those mysteries, all accompanied with distraction, all accompanied with maybe a forgetting of in the middle of a Hail Mary, what I say next. It's messy. The Lord knows it's going to be messy, but He's patient with us, just as, you know, when you're teaching your kids or grandkids how to walk and they fall down 10 times, what do they do? The parents are doing, they're laughing because it's cute and they want you to keep getting up and going along the way. I will say you're in St. Louis, so I would think that there's probably some good Catholic stores around you, maybe religious goods or bookstores in the St. Louis area. I am sure that they probably have some really good resources to be able to help you in praying the rosary. Father Donald Calloway and his books, I really highly recommend. But just in general, some maybe good books to help you. Prayers from the saints themselves, also meditations from the saints themselves on the rosary could be a great help.
Yeah, I think, you know, my other problem, my instruction was received one-on-one with the canon of a church, and it's very, very traditional. And so I'm noticing a lot more of the more modern readings out there and teachings, and so that's also a place where I struggle, because it just, my heart pulls me towards the true traditional teachings, you know, before Vatican II. And so I am struggling with that also.
Well, find yourself a good spiritual director and a priest that you trust. Yeah, and speak with them about these things from your heart, and you'll be on your way.
Gia, thank you very, very much for the call. Look at all these calls now. We're trying to get to all of them before the top of the hour.
Where you been?
Teresa in Philly. I assume that is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the city of my birth. Teresa, not that the city of my birth is a big deal. I just thought I was born there. Teresa, your question for John Leonetti.
Yes, my question is about the prayer that you pray to the Blessed Mother after you say the rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. I don't understand that prayer. I don't know why we call her our life, and then the whole rest of it, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. I don't know who came up with that and why.
That is going to be probably a question for Jimmy Akin. I do not know kind of the origins of that prayer or where it would come from. I don't have a problem, you know, when I talk about Our Lady and I talk about our life, remember that I like to say that whenever we say Mary's name, we're saying Jesus' name with three exclamation points, that we always go through her. And she gave us life, the one who is life. She nurtured life, and she taught life, Christ Jesus himself, in some ways, how to pray by the traditional practices she had. So, but as to the origins, I'm sorry. I don't have the answer to that specific prayer, but I bet you Jimmy Akin would have that answer.
I imagine that is the case. Teresa, the one of the things about prayer, and I think John will back me up on this too, is that we do sometimes the prayers are written in very poetic and sometimes ecstatic language. And so they're not meant to be always, in every case, like little theological documents. I suppose when they're at their best, they are like little theological documents, as well as being ecstatic and poetic. But that's not always the case. And there is something certainly ecstatic or very emotive and poetic about the Salve Regina. Am I in the ballpark, John?
I think you are. Yeah, I think you are. That's why, I would be interested in that answer to the question, though, kind of the origins of that prayer and tracing it back.
Is any of that at all helpful to you, Teresa?
So is that what it's called, the Salve Regina?
Hail Holy Queen.
Hail Holy Queen. Yeah, Hail Queen is what Salve Regina means.
Oh, okay. I just get confused when I say it, and I don't know. I just don't feel right sometimes when I say it because I don't really understand what I'm saying.
Well, now, let me ask you this, John. I mean, there are certain things. Jesus instructed us, pray the Our Father. We are obligated to pray the Our Father. But I don't – I imagine you could be a good Catholic and not pray the Salve Regina.
You know what? In fact, one of the things that I first thought when Teresa called and asked that prayer is I thought, well, then just don't pray it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any obligation that the church has for us to be able to pray that prayer. But I would very heavily endorse looking deeper into it. Unfortunately, I don't have that specific answer for you. But as I said, I'm sure that there are many more people out there, much smarter and more intelligent than me, that could get you an answer that I would bet that you'd be satisfied with.
Teresa, thank you very much for the call. I'm going to keep moving. Want to make sure I get everybody in here if I can. Kate in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on the EWTN app. You are up next, Kate. Your question for John Leonetti. Kate, we're having a little phone trouble. If you're on a speakerphone or anything like that, you got to get off it and get as close to the microphone in your phone as you can. Are you there, Kate?
Can you hear me?
You sound great now.
Oh, good. Okay, great. I thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to ask also about the rosary. A lot of times when I'm putting my kids to bed and they want me to like lay with them, I'll just kind of start saying the rosary. But I don't necessarily know what the mysteries are for the day. So I didn't know, I just didn't know, like, you know, does that quote count? Or should I be coming more prepared? I usually just do it and kind of just meditate on, you know, I feel like God is kind of putting people to mind that need prayers or specific situations, but I'm not doing it with any specific, I don't know what the mysteries are for that specific day.
I think you are. I'm sure you have a smartphone. You sound young, right?
Are you young enough to have a smartphone?
Yes.
You
okay,
are.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've never met a young person without one, so that's good. And I would definitely Google and find those. I think they are central. They're key to the mysteries of the Rosary. I don't want you to think of it in the realm you were saying before as if they've counted. You're praying with your kids. I mean, there's grace there. That's incredible. And the fact that you said you were praying the Rosary every night with your kids is something. But another way that you can pray and is to, again, introduce and to evangelize your children is to introduce these mysteries. So if you just, you know, have time, and believe me, I know how messy it can get with kids, just say the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation of our Lord to Mary. The second joyful mystery, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Go ahead.
They know that there's mysteries to them. It's more that, like, I'm trying to, like, keep everything dark and quiet so they fall asleep. So I'm personally just saying it to myself in my mind.
Oh.
As they're,
get them to sleep.
As we're laying there.
I think that's beautiful. Keep doing what you're doing. You hear me? I think you're doing it. It sounds beautiful. You're praying with your kids. Nothing more important you can do.
Kate, thank you for that call. You can hear the music. That means we got to sum it up. John Leonetti has been our guest. You can find John. You got a website people can find you at?
Yeah, CatholicParishMission.com.
CatholicParishMission.com. Among his books, Mission of the Family, Your God is Too Boring, and The Art of Getting Over Yourself. right?
There you go. Why, you'll be happier when you do.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate the time. A very blessed 2019 to you and your family.
You as well, Si. It's always a pleasure, brother.
We did it. We got the new year off to a good start. 2 hours of open forum tomorrow. See you then on Catholic Answers Live.